It's a little bit different this morning than usual, but I'm glad that the choir worked so hard on what they presented with us today. And man, those words are true. Those words are, this thing ain't going down. That's going to be bad. I feel like I'm standing behind this thing. That's okay. We're glad for the choir, though, and presenting that to us. Again, man, it's all scriptural. It's all biblical, and we're grateful for it. Here's the deal. I told somebody this would be less than 18 minutes because I want to be aware of your time. I want to get us out of here in a timely way. We've been setting. It's a little longer than it usually is. 18 minutes. Here we go. Who just looked at their watch? My wife did. Did anybody else? All right. Listen, the Easter story, especially in this part of the United States. Now, listen, we go and we've started a partnership up around the Northeast in Vermont and Massachusetts, New York area. There are people up there that are senior citizens that are literally never heard of Jesus before. They think Jesus is a cuss word. That's really what they think it is. They've never heard the story of Jesus. They've never heard the truth of Good Friday or Easter, or they don't know what that's about. They think it's about Easter bunnies and things. They don't know, but in this part of the United States, most of us have probably heard the story, so we don't have to rehash it. We just heard it sang to us. That's all good. We don't have to rehash the story this morning. Probably we've all have some knowledge of Jesus dying on a cross, rising from the dead. We know it in our heads. But how does it make a better impact in our lives? Because that's the thing, right? You can know it up here, but if it doesn't make an impact on the rest of you, it's no good. It's really no good. So how does that make an impact on us for the rest of our lives? How do we really believe it and not just know about it? And there's one word that proves it, and it's this: proof. The proof of Jesus actually dying on the cross, rising from the grave, is what helps us, a lot of us, take it from a head knowledge to something that really changes our heart and our lives. It shows us that Jesus is one we can give our lives to, and He can take it and just run with it and take care of it and do things that nobody else can do with our lives. Whenever I was younger, I was probably 10 or 11, and I had two younger sisters. Both were all 4 years apart. My middle sister was always the good child, never did anything wrong, never got a spanking, well, never got in trouble. But she liked to get me in trouble, all right, because she knew that was an easy target. And so I'll name her Jill. She'll probably watch this later and she'll text me. Jill got me in trouble one day, forgot what it was about. I don't remember exactly. I don't remember what she said. I don't remember what I was supposedly had done, but I knew it was wrong. And so I thought, I got to figure out a way. I'd already gotten in trouble. And I thought, I got to figure out a way to catch this girl in a lie, because she just lied about that. I didn't do this. We've all been there, right? If you've got a younger sibling, you've all been there. So I got my little tape recorder. Kids, they used to have these things called cassette tapes. And they had two little holes in the middle, and it had looked like brown tape inside of it. And you stick it in a little player and hit play or record or anything, and it would do all those things. So I had one of those, and I took it, and I hid it in the corner of her room when she wasn't in there. When she went back in her room, I already started record, by the way. When she went back in there, I went in, knowing that it was already recording, and I said, Jill, why do you get me in trouble? I don't know what you're talking about. I said, why do you get me in trouble? Why do you think it's necessary to tell lies to get me in trouble? Because you know what you just told Mom and Dad was wrong, right? You know you just did that to try to get me in trouble. And she was like, yeah, that's right. And I was like, got her. So I took the tape recorder, took it back to my parents in the living room. I popped it in the big tape player we had that had the big speakers. And I was like, y'all need to listen to something. Hit play, fast forwarded it to the spot. Justin's good. All right. Justin's golden now. Now Jill finally gets in trouble. But it was the proof that I had that changed their minds. And maybe for us, the proof of the resurrection, Jesus being the one who rose from the dead, maybe the truth of Easter and the truth of the resurrection is what we need to get us to that next level, to get us and to get our hearts right with who Jesus really is. I'm going to go through them quick because they pretty much speak for themselves. But the first proof we have is the proof of a guarded tomb. In Matthew 27, it'll be up here on the screen. After Jesus has already been crucified, He's been placed in the tomb, this is what happens. The next day, which followed the preparation day, this would be Saturday, by the way, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said,
Sir, we remember that while this deceiver, talking about Jesus, while this deceiver was still alive, he said, after 3 days, I will rise again. So give orders that the tomb may be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal him and tell the people he has risen from the dead. And the last deception will be first, worse than the first. They're saying, listen, he's going to come. He's already said he's going to rise. If he really does it and his disciples lie for him and they take him out of this grave, that's going to be worse than Jesus saying it. So he says this, take guards and go make it as secure as you know how. And they went and secured the tomb by setting a seal on the stone and placing the guards. All this happened after Jesus had been put into the tomb that Friday afternoon. Now, why would they worry? Why would they worry? Because Jesus had claimed that he would rise from the grave. He had numerous claims that he would rise on the third day. And they're worried his followers might come and try to steal him to make that look true. So naturally, what Pilate wanted to do and what the Roman soldiers wanted to do was to seal the tomb, which meant they put a wax coating on a part of the tomb and they sealed it with an official seal. If it was broken, then they would know something was up. They put guards at the tomb, and these guards were not just like rent-a-cop guards. Like they weren't somebody you call the temp agency and say, hey, I need somebody in a black shirt that has like a fake radio on, but it looks good in sunglasses. We're going to need those guys at the tomb. This is not what that was, okay? These were real guys, real guards, the best of the best, and their lives were on the line if anything happened to this body or this tomb. So they say, let's seal the tomb. Let's put guards in front of the tomb. And then Jesus' followers will never get to pull one over on these people. Pilate even says, make it secure as you know how. And they did. They put the best of the best guards. These guards would not have been lazy. They would have been suspicious of everyone. They would have trusted no one. They took all of that to put in front of a tomb of a dead man so nobody would come get him. It's pretty good proof, isn't it? If they had all of that there and men who were paid with their lives to guard that tomb, and Jesus still arose, that strengthens the proof of Jesus' resurrection. The second one is the proof, not just of the guarded tomb, but the next morning, the proof of an empty tomb in Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 5. The ladies come to the tomb that Sunday morning, that Easter Sunday morning, and there's an angel waiting for them. It says, the angel told the women, don't be afraid because I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have told you. So departing quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, they ran to tell his disciples the news. Now you need to know some, this tomb we're talking about, you need to know some details about it. Number one, it was a new tomb. And a new tomb meant that nobody else had ever been laid in it. Nicodemus was the one that allowed Jesus to lay in this tomb, Joseph did, not Nicodemus. Nicodemus helped pull him down. Joseph was a guy who helped let Jesus lay in this tomb, and evidently Joseph had hewn this tomb out of the rock. And it saved it because it wasn't usually just one person in the tomb. It was usually a whole family of people in the tomb. So Joseph was preparing to put his whole family in there whenever they would pass away. But nobody had been put in the tomb yet. It was new. So when the ladies looked in there and saw nobody on the slab, they knew that there was no mistake and Jesus was gone. And there wasn't the mistake of looking in there and going, well, here's Uncle Todd, and here's Aunt Martha, and here's Cousin So-and-so. But I think Jesus was laying. Yeah, Jesus was laying there, and he's not there anymore. There was no mistake in that because there was no aunt and uncle and cousin or grandpa or grandma laying in the tomb. It was a brand new tomb. And these women who were there, who went to the tomb, you'd say, well, they went to the wrong tomb maybe. No. They knew exactly where they were going because Friday afternoon, they watched the men pull Jesus down off the cross. wrap him up, and carry him to the tomb not far from there. They followed and saw that happen. Those women were so distraught, they probably walked past it on Saturday just to look at it, just to see it again. These women were not confused on where the tomb was. They saw him lay there on Friday. They probably visited on Saturday. They knew the tomb they were checking on. And when they got there, the angel invited them to come in and see the tomb. They laid eyes on the tomb where Jesus had laid. They had saw him laid in there. They saw the stone rolled over the front of it. And now they see the stone away, and they're looking inside the tomb, and there's no Jesus. Another thing we know that helps this is that women were actually used in this story to tell the story. You say, well, yeah, women never lie. Why wouldn't they? Women are perfect. Why wouldn't they use a woman? Well, because back then they didn't believe women could testify in court. They didn't take the word of women very much because of that culture that they were in. So for these gospel writers to even suggest that women were the first to say, hey, Jesus is risen, for them to say that is crazy if they're not telling the truth. If they were trying to get together and get a story together, John would have been here, and Peter and James and all these other guys, Nathaniel and Bartholomew, and all these guys would have been around, and Thomas, and they would have said, hey, we got to make this believable, guys. You know, this is our one shot to pull this over. We got to finish the fleece job that Jesus was trying to do. We got to keep pulling the wool over these people's eyes. Let's make sure we've got our story straight. You ever do that growing up? You get with somebody, hey, well, I know this lamp broke. We gotta say the cat did it, all right? And this is how it happened, and this is the color of the cat. This is exactly where it jumped. This was the time of day. This is what we smelled in the air. You know, the old lady was walking by the house when it happened. All this stuff, you were talking about it. They didn't do that in the Gospels. Do you notice that? All the stories are the same, but they all have different aspects to it. But Matthew decides he's going to use, and the other disciples agreed, obviously. The other followers of Jesus agreed that this happened, because nobody disputes it, that these women were the first to see the empty tomb. If they were trying to create some narrative about Jesus that wasn't true, they wouldn't use women to do it. But then we see the reaction of these women also. Look, they left quickly. Now, if they would have thought something was up, they wouldn't have left quickly, would they? They would not have left quickly if they thought something was up. They left with great joy. That's the only response you would leave with if you've seen somebody rise from the dead, would be great joy. And then they went to tell the disciples. They went to tell them that Jesus said he did what he was going to do. The empty tomb is proof. And then the rest of the eyewitness accounts that we have are proof of the resurrection. In Luke chapter 24, Luke says this. It says, as he reclined, talking about Jesus, this is right after he had risen from the dead. He's walking down, these guys are walking down the road. Jesus walks up with them. They don't really recognize him at first. And you can't blame him for not recognizing him. If you had a loved one just die and you're walking down the road and somebody comes up and starts talking to you and they kind of look like him, you're not going to be like, are you granddaddy? Because you sure look like him. He died. Why would you do that? And that's the same thing that these guys walking down the road probably thought. That Jesus is talking to them. They're not going to go, hey, you look kind of like Jesus. Is that? Surely not. They're not going to do that. They would look dumb. Guys are not going to look dumb. So we're not going to ask those silly questions. So they follow him, and they get to this town, and they say, well, why don't you, these guys say to Jesus, why don't you come and stay with us, eat with us? So they took him in, which was the custom of the day. And as he reclined at the table with them, they took bread. He took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them, just like he did at the Last Supper a few days before that. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. And they said to each other, weren't our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road and explaining the scriptures to us? That very hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those gathered with them together and said, the Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon. And they began to describe what has happened on the road and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. And as they were saying these things, he himself stood in the midst And he said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and terrified, and they thought they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you troubled?" Jesus asked them. "And why do doubts arise in your heart? Look at my hands and my feet. That it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones as you can see I have." Having said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they were still amazed and in disbelief because of their joy, he asked them, "You got anything to eat?" I love it. So he gave them a piece of boiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. These men walking on the road to Emmaus, they saw him. It says they recognized him. This was not a lookalike. This was not some twin of Jesus's that looked like him. They knew it was Jesus. And when they heard him talk about the scriptures, and when they saw him break the bread, they knew that it was Jesus. This was not a beat up version of Jesus either that had rips and tears all over his body. This was the Jesus that they knew. He says, "Weren't our hearts burning? We knew it, didn't we, guys? We knew it." That's what they're saying to each other. And then they go on and they say, "Well, Simon even saw him." And they're talking in verse 34 and following. They're telling their stories about seeing Jesus together. And then the disciples that were left, the 11, and then those with them, which would have been other believers, saw him appear in that room. Can't imagine what that would be like. Now, at that point, you got to know it's Jesus, right? Now, if you're walking down the road and a dude walks up with you, you might be like, you look like him, but I don't know. If you're standing in a room with other people, and then all of a sudden there's an extra person there, and he kind of looks like Jesus, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, that's going to be Jesus, okay? That's how he operates. He says he's not a ghost. He tells them that because he knew they were doubting. He knew it. He's like, "It's me, guys. Touch my hands. Look at my feet. Touch them." And you know what's interesting? They don't even touch him. They don't have to. They know it's Jesus. And again, it's just marks on his hands and marks on his feet. There's no marks on his head where they put the crown of thorns on his head. There's no stuff gone from his beard where they ripped parts of his beard out. There's no marks on his back where they smacked him and beat him with the cat of nine tails. None of that's there. They knew it was him. And then if that wasn't enough, they even ate with Jesus. Not all gospels tell the same stories of proof about Jesus rising from the dead. And that makes the proof even stronger, that they wouldn't get their stories just straight. That they wouldn't worry about that. They just told what they knew. They told the stories. They weren't trying to trick people. That's the proof, guys. That's the proof that the resurrection is real. You know it in your heads, but have you let it change your heart? That resurrection was real, and the guy that resurrected also died for you to forgive you of your sins, and he rose on that third day. You know why? So that sin would have no more power over him or over you or over anybody if you would just follow him, if you would just accept him, if you would just let him forgive you and give him your life. He'll give you a new heart. He'll give you a home in heaven one day. You know the other proof to this? All the guys that wrote about this, most of them died horrible, horrible deaths. Horrible deaths. Why would they believe this? Why would they write this if it wasn't true? Why would they stick with that if it wasn't true? I mean, if it's a flash in the pan, go on with something else in life. But they stuck with it because it was true. They walked with him. They touched him. They talked to him. They knew this was true. Have you let the proof of the resurrection of Jesus change you? Have you let it shape your life? Have you even given your life to Jesus? That dude that rose from the grave is the real deal. And man, he's worth every bit of your life to hand over to him, to lead you, to guide you, to comfort you when you need comfort, to love you when you need loved. Have you given your life to the guy who died on a cross and rose from the grave? Because zero other people have done that for you, by the way. And if you have given your life to him, how has it changed your life? You've got decisions to make this morning. I went 19 minutes. There you go. You've got decisions to make this morning. Your decision is this. Are you going to say yes to Jesus? Or are you going to say no to Jesus? "Well, I've already said yes to Jesus, so I'm good. I'm fine. I'm going to be in heaven one day." Well, if your life doesn't look like that tomorrow when you go to work, then maybe not. That's real stuff. If you say you said yes to Jesus, but your life doesn't look like it, you might want to reevaluate some things. If you say you love your wife, and then tomorrow you don't act like you love your wife, she's going to make you reevaluate some things. And Jesus is so much more important than any other relationship you would ever give yourself to. How have you let Him change your life? It's not a fairy tale. I've given you proof of it, historical proof. It's not a fairy tale. It's not made up. You can be as scholarly and as high-minded and as high-thinking as you want, and that's what people would want to tell you to do. But you know what that stuff's called? There's a Greek word for it. Baloney. That's what that stuff's called. Straight baloney. Straight baloney. You can tell your college professor I said that too, by the way. Give him my number, 577-9549. Come on. Because it's baloney. Yeah, think about it. But let your mind be logical and think about the proof that has shown in Scripture and the proof that you see from these guys that were eyewitnesses in the empty tomb. Don't let the guy at work steer you wrong. Don't let the college professor steer you wrong. Don't let the guy across the street tell you something different because it's not true. Give your life to Jesus today. Man, He'll change your life. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You so much for what You're doing in our lives, Lord. Thank You for the proof, not just the great story and it sounds good and you died on a cross and You rose from the grave. We've got cool songs about it. We enjoy singing and we get hyped up on Easter because of it. But Jesus, there's proof. There's proof that You are who You said You are. There's proof that You did what nobody else has ever done in all of history. No other religious leader has done what You've done. That's why You're not just a religious leader. You're the Son of God, Jesus. The perfect Son of God who came to die as a sacrifice for our sins so that if we would accept You, we could live with You forever. Lord, I love You. I pray that You would speak to our hearts this morning. Those who don't know You, speak to their hearts, Jesus. Let them know that they need to know You. Let them kind of throw their hands up and surrender and say, I just can't do it anymore myself. I need Jesus. Because You'll be right there to meet them. And then, Lord, those of us that say we know You, help us to make sure that we live our lives like we know You. Help us to be important enough to live for You each and every day. Lord, this is not just another day to get hyped up because it's Easter. This is just a Sunday. We got to get hyped up every Sunday. Lord, I thank You for... Thank You for Your life. Thank You for Your resurrected life. Thank You for saving us. Speak to us now, Jesus, as we sing. We ask it all in Your name. Amen.